Hello and welcome to this episode of Corporate Buzz, where we discuss all the top news in corporate India this week. I'm your host, Kirtana Tiwari, and I'm with Prince Thomas, Money Control's Corporate Bureau Chief. Hi Prince, welcome to the show.
Hi Kirtana, thank you so much.
Prince, let's talk about the news that happened today. Flipkart announced that it's buying 7.8 stake in Aditya Birla Fashion. Would you say that this is a great time for such a deal?
Yeah, it is, because we are in the midst of the festive season. You know, I think Flipkart, I think extended its sale, isn't it? I think it's festive sale, and Amazon is going on, and offline also many of the retailers have announced special sales. So this is also a crucial time, because we're seeing, because of COVID, initially there was not much of an action for these retailers, especially in fashion. Because people are sitting at home, not going out, spending on apparels had really gone down. But the retailers are hoping that this will really, the festive season will make up for all the loss. So the timing is surely great, yes. And I think both the sides actually also benefit a lot.
Right. And will we be seeing more such deals like this, especially since the e-commerce space is growing?
Yeah, we would be, because see, both the sides really benefit, because one, Aditya Birla retail has a lot of well-known brands, especially in men's apparel space. It also has some international brands in its portfolio. And then in Flipkart, Aditya Birla gets access to a much wider market base, because, you know, Flipkart has access to smaller towns and cities where it is really expensive right now to for a physical retailer to set up store. It's time-taking, expensive. So at a short, Aditya Birla gets access to, you know, all many more customers now. So, and we have seen that this is precisely one reason why consolidation in other segments have also happened. We have seen in e-pharma space also, where some of the bigger players have bought stake or bought over the smaller ones. And I think these kind of consolidation segment-wise will continue to happen, because you have few players who are dominant and deep pockets. So there's Amazon, there's Flipkart backed by Walmart, there is Reliance Retail. So they will always be looking for that niche or a specialized, you know, segment player who will add to their own value. So yes, we will surely see more of these kind of deals.
But Prince, what is the state of, you know, physical retail shops if, you know, more and more companies come to e-commerce?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a question mark, especially now. In the last few months, where we've seen that we are unable to go to retail stores, physical stores, and everyone, you know, we are buying right from grocery, vegetables, everything is delivered home. And I think even for electronics, anything that we would have wanted to otherwise see and be demonstrated before we buy, I think we are buying it online now without doing any of that. So COVID has probably, you know, made a change in the customer behavior. But I still think, you know, physical retail will continue to have its importance, because human nature is such that we like to go out, visit shops, shop physically. You know, the whole act of shopping can be a kind of a stress buster for a lot of people. And then you're also meeting people, going out with friends. It becomes a part of the whole overall, you know, outing also. So it will be there. But I think for any serious retailer, the presence in both is very important. So the kind of the industry jargon for that being the omni-channel. So both physical and online presence is equally important now.
Right. Now moving on to exciting news in the aviation sector, the Carl Rock Capital and Murari Lal Jalan Consortium has won the bid for Jet Airways. Mm-hmm. And we have been waiting for this news for quite a while now, and it finally happened. So
right.
can you explain how the bid was won?
So I think since from the beginning, probably, or at least after a while, soon after these two sites, one is Carl Rock Capital and the Jalan Consortium, and then on the other side, you have the FSTC, Big Charter, and Imperial Capital as the opposing consortium. I think soon after they submitted the bids, I think it was kind of, the buzz was that Carl Rock's proposal was little better than the other consortiums. And eventually what we saw is that over the through the voting itself, Calrock retained its lead. We still don't know the details of the resolution plans submitted by both the consortia. But what we do know is that probably the payment to lenders, lenders are still taking a huge haircut of about 90% on the loans that they had given to Jet Airways. But still, I think for them, the propositions from Calrock were slightly better than what the other side was offering. So we now possibly will have a new owner. There are some procedures to be completed because the winning bid has to be submitted at the NCLT. Then also the owners will have to get clearances from the Ministry of Aviation, the DGCA, and you know the whole process of hiring the top management, because we should remember that Calrock is an investment firm. It specializes in buying distressed assets and restructuring them. It doesn't have much experience in running an operation as well as an aviation company. The consortium will need to bring in professionals, set up a management, senior management organization, and then you also have to take the important calls on how many planes to have in the fleet, what kind of routes to operate on. Many of these airport slots that Jet Airways have, and you can't take off or land without a airport slot. So all the slots are given away to its competition. So it needs to get back some of the slots to start operating. So there are many parts to the puzzle that Calrock Capital and the Jalan combined will have to bring in together to really restart Jet Airways operation. In fact, many people really question hard if the airline still has a chance to revive or not. But I think the chances are much better today than it was a year ago. So we'll have to wait what kind of steps the consortium is going to take. But it surely will be a tough challenge to restart the operation.
Jet Airways was always known for its international flights. So will it continue to be that way, or will they have a different plan?
Yes, so Jet was very popular on the international route, especially some of its non-stop flights to Europe and North America were immensely popular. But given the circumstances we are in, the world over, some of the biggest airlines have cut back on their expansion plan for long-haul flights. Many have even grounded their wide-body aircraft. So a wide-body aircraft is needed for these long-haul flights. And much of the attention right now, even if you look at other Indian airlines, is first domestic and then the immediate medium-haul destinations like in the Middle East or Southeast Asia. That is the focus right now. And I think for Calrock and Jalan combined also, I think they will do good by starting on local routes, on domestic metros probably, where there is traffic now, and then gradually scale it up.
Right. And also they have a lot of financial obstacles to cross before they actually, get onto the runway. How long will that probably take?
So I think, I don't think it's going to start this year. It may not even start in the first 3 months of the next year. Probably in the second quarter of the calendar year 2021, we could see Jet Airways restarting operations.
Okay. It will definitely be exciting since we had been waiting almost 1.5 years for this.
That's right.
Right. Moving on to the next topic. Disney India is planning to consolidate its TV broadcasting, sports and film studio business. What does this actually mean, and what will be the benefit from this?
So, Krishna, Disney had to go a little back in that, and because Disney had acquired Century Fox in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of that deal included the whole Star network in India, because Star was part of Century Fox.
Okay.
And what's happened now is that Star is very strong in sports. You know, it has the IPL, it has some of the other leagues also, and it has most of the major cricketing tournaments. On the other hand, Walt Disney has its access to all the Hollywood movies, majorly English content. But what has happened in the last few months is that we've seen that online entertainment space has really taken off. From the likes of Amazon Prime or Netflix or even Hotstar, which now has become Disney Hotstar. Ads and viewership on TV channels, especially the entertainment space, has been going up.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you've seen, of late HBO has stopped broadcasting. It's available only in the app. AXN has gone off. So the trend is to move more towards digital, just like in the media, I think, we are all moving towards digital business space. So that's what is happening in for companies like Walt Disney and Star Sports also. So they are surely betting more on the OTT space, but it also faces a lot of competition. While it has a very strong presence in sports through Hotstar and Star Sports, on the entertainment side, I think the content is very English heavy. It has to really become more relevant to the Indian audience. And something that Amazon Prime has probably done very well now. You see a lot of Hindi movies, a lot of regional movies on Amazon Prime. So Disney has started buying rights to some of the big Bollywood movies. But I think it will have to do more and go a little more regional to really start becoming a serious player on the OTT.
Moving on to the final story, Prince, we've been talking a lot about electric vehicles. And right now we're hearing that the government has invited many companies to set up electric vehicle charging stations across the country. How is this going to work?
Yeah, so what the tender and the proposal from the government is that it's specific to the highways. And at every 25 kilometers interval, there would be a charging station.
Okay.
And now it's important because, this is not the first time a tender like this is coming out. And even last year there was a tender and some 600-700 charging stations have already been set up. But all of these are in the cities and very few are in highways. So you would have often heard the argument that, EV electric vehicles are good, but then you can't go on a long drive because where will you charge? The infrastructure is lacking. This is that part of the puzzle where the current tender would probably take care of, because if you have, all the important highways, if you have charging stations at every 25 kilometers, I think you'll start seeing people using EVs also on the long drive. And that will probably open up some more market for the electric vehicles. So from that point of view, I think it's a very important step that the government has taken to promote the use of electric vehicles.
Would it not be logical to begin with, electric stations within the city and then go into highways?
So yes, so I think you will see that these companies who sell electric vehicles, they do offer customers to, one, set up a charging station right at their home. So some of the housing colony, you will see at the parking area itself, there will be a slot to charge your car. Otherwise, they also have their own charging points in the city. So an auto company will have its own dedicated charging space. Or sometimes you will see next to the petrol pump also, some of the charging stations have started coming up. So the infrastructure is building. We can question if it is coming fast enough. I think it should have come much, much faster. But that infrastructure is coming. So much of the tender that happened last year, I think many of those charging stations are yet to come up in the city. So the number will surely increase in the next 1 year. Probably COVID was one reason why it has slowed down. But we are hoping that, it will gather pace again.
Another question, Prince. You mentioned that, the plan is to establish charging stations every 25 kilometers. Is there like a logic behind that? And will that be enough, 20 from one point to another?
Yes, I think that should be more than enough. I think that is really opens up the space for not just for four-wheelers, but even if one is using a two-wheeler electric vehicle with increased power and not with probably long distance, but at least probably you want to travel about 100 kilometers, from Mumbai, say you want to go somewhere which is within the radius of 100 kilometers, 150. So you can use the two-wheeler also if you have a charging station every 25 kilometers. So the options really open up, and for that same with the four-wheelers also, you don't have to really worry or, have that nagging thing in the back of your mind that, when will the next charging station come, is there any enough charge in your vehicle. So I think it's a good frequency to have.
One last question, Prince.
Sure.
What about the duration of charging? Would it not be a hassle to, you know, just wait for a few hours for the car or two-wheeler to charge?
Good point, Kitna. In fact, that would be one reason why in every 25 kilometers you have a charging station.
Right.
Because for, you know, full charge, it may take anywhere, I don't know, it takes about half an hour at least, or probably more. So imagine the kind of queue you have. I mean, surely there are not as many electric vehicles flying on the road, but still you can have a long queue. So probably this frequency of 25 kilometers takes care of that.
Thank you so much, Prince, for all these details.
Hey, thanks, Kitna.
With that, it's a wrap on this podcast. If you have any other queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.